Nearly 6,000 public schools across the country are reportedly prohibiting teachers from telling parents which gender their kids identify as in the classroom.
This administrator used to work in an Anoka Hennepin public high school. She's now in another district. Listen as she tells teachers during this staff meeting last year they should not notify parents if a kid wants to socially transition at school. District policy says the opposite.
In our Title IX meeting, that's what they said, that if students tell you that they have not shared with their parent, that you do not have to talk to their parent.
Jenny used to teach in the district. She attended that meeting.
During the meeting, she clearly presented the information of the policy in written form and then said, but you don't have to check with the parents. That's not your responsibility to go and have a discussion with the parents, even if the student wants to change their name or pronouns one day, and then 3 weeks later they want to have different pronouns. You just do whatever the student wants.
Teachers and administrators will let your daughter use male pronouns, a boy's name, and the boy's bathroom without telling you. They'll also allow your son to do the same with female bathrooms and pronouns, even as young as 7 years old.
My coworkers even cheered at that. So many people in the building were just happy to hear that.
In some districts across the state, your kid can socially transition without your consent. What does that mean? They can change their name and pronouns and use bathrooms consistent with the gender they identify with, regardless of biological sex. Some kids even change clothes once they get to school.
You see a young man come to school, and he goes into the bathroom, and he comes out completely different. He will be in high heels, short shorts, a midriff possibly, with the tummy hanging out, a bustier. We have boys wearing bustiers.
Some schools ban teachers from telling parents if their kid identifies as another gender in the classroom. And in others, it's as simple as this. If your kid doesn't want you to know, teachers won't tell you.
When I asked how they could legally do that, I was told they felt like it was in the best interest of the child to change the child's gender and the child's name, and that they were keeping it in secret against the parents because the parents were against it.
Low test scores, violence, and low expectations? Some parents may think these pale in comparison to this. Kids aren't getting an education to prepare them to become successful, functioning adults. They're questioning their gender and talking about ideas that may be beyond their maturity. Most parents don't know. Radical ideologies are camouflaged with harmless words such as culturally responsive teaching, social-emotional learning, equity, and belonging. Things that sound good, but if they're so good, why are educators hiding them from parents?
We know these things are happening. As teachers, they know it's true. I have some evidence. The only reason that people are pushing back or trying to contest this is that they want to keep the secret. They want to confuse the community and say that these things aren't really happening. I have no reason to lie about this.
Of course, transgender kids shouldn't be bullied or harassed. No kid should be. But if a school won't give your kid an aspirin without parental consent, why are they allowing them to change their pronouns and names without telling parents? We reached out to District 196 in South Washington County. They didn't respond to our request for comment. Jim Skelly is the Executive Director of Communications and Public Relations for Anoka Hennepin Public Schools. He responded to us by email. He said any employee who violates district policy would be subject to consequences which range from training to termination. I'm Sheila Qualls. I write for a Minnesota-based news outlet called Alpha News. I've written a series of articles on ideologies, policies, and practices that allow violence, misconduct, and low performance to go unchecked. For the past year, we've been examining public education in Minnesota. I've interviewed teachers, parents, and students. I've talked to people who study education in Minnesota. I've looked at curriculum and school websites. I've contacted the Department of Education, the Minnesota School Board Association, the Teachers Union, and administrators. I'm going to paint a picture of what is happening in our schools and why. Not in my words, but in the words of teachers, parents, and students who are in or around public schools every day. Thousands of Minnesota families are trapped, held hostage by a broken system that is being shaped by misguided and irresponsible policies and practices that are at odds with traditional values. The threat of losing our children is real. Most teachers and parents spoke with us on the promise of anonymity. Small details have been changed to protect students' identities. They fear retaliation. Dissent is not tolerated. Disagreement is voiced only in whispers. Throughout this series, I'm going to show you everything from why kids can't read to why they have to worry about getting stabbed at school. This is season two of Trapped, Chaos in the Classroom. Dave's kid attends Woodbury High School. Teachers and administrators at Woodbury High School let his kid change their name and pronouns without notifying Dave. Administrators eventually contacted him to ask if it was okay to change his kid's name and pronouns.
We had said no and gave them a little bit of detail. We're trying to work through at home. We've got some mental health issues that we're making progress on and we're trying to work through as a family.
Even when parents say no, some schools do it anyway.
They basically came back with, tough luck, too bad. We're fostering gender diversity, so your child is able to change their name regardless of what you say.
Administrators who should be working with parents sometimes work against them.
And we started seeing it on Schoology. That's the app they use to track the students and the progress with homework and everything. We noticed within the parent portal, it was changed there too, in the fields where it says legal name, like the name that she had chosen was changed in there too.
Transgender student policies vary from district to district. Some districts require parental consent, others don't. St. Paul Public Schools has a policy that says educators must address kids by their preferred name and pronoun, regardless of what parents say. Experts say cases of gender dysphoria were rare before 2012. As recent as 2013, only 0.1% of kids suffered from gender dysphoria. Today's studies indicate that number has risen to anywhere from 2 to 5%.
You've got some schools where girls will say, you got up to 20% of the girls saying, or boys, saying they want to be transgender. So we get into this whole thing of what caused that.
This is Brian Nystrom. He's a licensed independent clinical social worker.
In the mental health field, for example, we have this thing called gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care is the idea that any child who shows distress that he or she thinks is related to their sex should automatically be treated with social transition to the sex of their choice, followed by hormonal interventions, and then possibly surgery to remove body parts. The American Pediatric Society has endorsed it. The American Psychological Association has endorsed it. So in other words, if a kiddo comes into their office, let's say it's the person is a boy, they were born a boy, but now they want to become a girl, that pediatrician, that psychologist, et cetera, is supposed to say, oh, that's wonderful. I accept you where you're at. I won't even question anything. If you want to be a girl, that's great.
Listen to these figures from the Minnesota Department of Health Student Survey. In 2013, 94% of 11th grade girls identified as heterosexual. Today, that number has fallen to 77%. Brian says gender dysphoria is a peer contagion.
These other kids are doing it. They're talking about it. I'll do that too. And so you get into this social peer pressure where kids are being exposed to this and then wanting to do it. So that's very problematic. Many kids will do pretty much anything to get that approval.
Standardized test scores are the lowest they've been in 30 years. More kids are not proficient in math and reading than kids who are. Instead of teaching the basics, schools have been hijacked by radical gender ideologies.
They also had this really weird, like, pledge of allegiance to these, like, different flags, like the queer flag, you know, the lesbian flag. You had to turn to it and put your hand on your chest and, like, say these, we believe in rainbows and unicorn tails. And I just thought it was super weird. And it was just not good vibes there.
How can a school allow kids to socially transition without parental consent?
It's a question of what can we do about it.
This is Doug Seaton. He's the founder and president of Upper Midwest Law Center.
These zealots don't care what the law is. It's a question of what can we do about it. They'll say, we're protecting people who are subject to harassment and bullying, and their parents are going to abuse them and retaliate against them and punish them for expressing themselves. Otherwise, we're aiding and abetting these terrible parents and everyone who is going to be bullying them for their identity. Student transition secrecy and non-disclosure to parents by school districts is, in our view, a violation of parental consent rules applicable to all medical and social behavioral issues on the part of the schools. We think some district personnel have even encouraged and promoted these transitions and not simply reacted to issues presented by students, which is even more reprehensible.
Nystrom said teachers aren't qualified to help kids socially transition.
Absolutely not. They should not go near it. It's not in their realm. I know a lot of teachers. Many of them do a fantastic job, but this is not their purview. And then the whole thing of keeping this a secret from the parents is wrong.
What's the harm in letting kids socially transition at school?
The consequences are disastrous. The jury's still out. What age can a kid transition? Certainly a kid in elementary school, middle school, their brains, they are not cognitively and emotionally mature enough to even make a decision like that.
Some schools use a curriculum that exposes kids as young as 5 to the concepts of gender identity and expression. It teaches that kids begin to develop and express gender identity as early as age 3.
The important thing to remember is that you are the one who knows you best. When babies are born, people ask, "Is it a boy or a girl?" Babies can't talk. So grown-ups make a guess by looking at their bodies. This is the sex assigned to you at birth, male or female. Kids know a lot about themselves. They know who they are by how they feel inside.
Nystrom said kids that age aren't even thinking about sex.
They just want to play. Sexual thoughts in a child, they're on pause till they hit the puberty years, 13, 14, things like that.
So if a kid is socially transitioning at a young age, it's probably not their idea.
They're getting the message somewhere else, that the idea of transitioning. This is not coming from the child. This is coming from the environment. Maybe it's other kids who are encouraging it. Could even be teachers encouraging it by how they lead a discussion in the classroom. Teachers and administrators, I'm sure these are all good people, right? But they're organizing their thinking around, I'm going to tell little Johnny or Sally that this will just be between, you know, us, me and you, and there's no need to tell your parents. And it used to be the idea that the teachers partnered with the parents. Today, that has changed in this area, where this whole sexual identity issue, the schools are keeping that information from the parents. They're letting the child, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child, decide on what their pronoun is. Children that age are incapable of saying, well, I want to be the other sex. If they say that, the public schools will say, oh, that's wonderful. Let's celebrate that. And so the kid keeps that a secret from the parents.
Nystrom said kids shouldn't be encouraged to keep secrets from parents.
if they're keeping a secret from the parents and that's endorsed by the teachers, this creates a very difficult family situation where the parents don't know what the truth is, what's going on with their kiddo, and the child is learning how to be deceptive to their parents. And this builds and builds in a family system where it pits the child against the parent and the parent against the child. And the older that child gets as they go through their developmental stage, they hit 10, 12, 14, 16, this can rip a family apart. So it has disastrous consequences for not only for the kid, but for the whole family.
It's difficult when you see a young man come to school and he goes into the bathroom and he comes out completely different.
William taught in Anoka Hennepin schools for over 30 years.
He will be in high heels, short shorts, a midriff possibly, with the tummy hanging out, a bustier. We have boys wearing bustiers with, you know, things over their shoulders and their bellies out, and it's a bra. They're wearing a girl's bra. It's so hard to see this, and we just have to keep it secret that we can't tell them that this young man is dressing like that. We just can't share it. It is really hard on teachers.
He said educators are trying to do the parents' job.
When their little girl says, I like playing with trucks and I like hunting and I like guns and I really think I'm a boy, and the parents go, you can be a girl and still like those things. And that could happen as early as 10, 11, 12 years old. The tomboy, that happens. My own sister, there was a time where she wished she was a boy. She is the most beautiful, loving mother. I mean, if somebody wouldn't have talked to her, my mom and dad talked to her and did some kind of mutilating surgery and started a process of drugs to block hormones, it would have wrecked her. We would have lost her. That's what would have caused the suicide, is to be so mixed up in these things. We're so concerned about our children and the suicide rates. Well, this is a big emotional issue that moms and dads need to be there to be able to support and love their children and all their choices. Moms and dads need to know this.
And not only that, but then the different almost pornographic-related books where, you know, a little 5-6-year-old reads about two men having oral sex and so forth. So, again, it disrupts radically disrupts the latency period where the child, let's just say ages 5 to 12 years old, the sexual energy is paused. They're not thinking about it. It doesn't even come into their mind. But when it's introduced by the environment, by pornography, by a teacher getting up front and giving a demonstration of how to put a condom on a banana when the kid is 7 or 8 years old, this disrupts their thinking. It skews their thinking in an unhealthy, unproductive way that will affect their academic and social achievement.
Schools have a finite amount of money and time to teach kids. Why aren't they laser focused on the fundamentals?
I see a big concern when we're spending meetings talking about how we're going to support these students rather than helping them with their test scores.
John works in District 196. It's comprised of Eagan, Apple Valley, and Rosemont.
I see more and more meetings that are not talking about us as a school, how we're going to get these test scores up, but more and more of how can we make sure that we are supporting students of color, students that are transitioning, and not in the ways of academics. We're losing precious meeting time talking about all of these things.
When schools keep secrets from parents, it's tough on teachers.
It puts us in a bad place where I want to let the parents know, like, hey, are you okay with this? Because maybe if you're not, we should find a solution. We're putting the needs of these students that are transitioning first above anybody, which I feel like is not okay without discussion with others in the community.
Dave put his younger kids in private school. Even with teachers and parents speaking out, schools still deny they are doing what happened to Dave.
It's lies. And if anything, they're bending the truth. In our case, sure, they notified us, but then it was like, it seemed like we had the option to say no. But then when we did and gave them what we thought were very legitimate reasons, they said, too bad. It's not their say. I'm sending my kid there to be educated, not to be manipulated, not to be indoctrinated. They need to get back to educating our kids.
In our Title IX meeting, that's what they said, that if students tell you that they have not shared with their parent, that you do not have to talk to their parent.
My name is Sheila Qualls, and you are listening to Season 2 of Trapped, Chaos in the Classroom. If you know of chaos in a classroom, email me at sheila@alphanews.org or contact the Alpha News tip line at alphanews.org. Trapped is a podcast from Alpha News. It's recorded by me and produced by Kendall Johnson of Underdog Films. Fact-checking by Anthony Gokowski. Our theme music is by Kendall Johnson. You can find all episodes in Season 2 on our website. Subscribe at mntrapped.com. This podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts.